Hi everyone, I'm Ksenia.
And I'm Anna.
And you are listening to CareerZilla, a podcast where people from all over the world share their stories about career change.
If you always dreamed of having a new job or a new career but was not quite sure where to start, this podcast is for you. Stay tuned to learn secret hacks and tricks about career transformations from our guests.
Every second and fourth Thursday of the month, our guests share with you their insights on how to kick off a new career.
And now let's start.
Hey everyone, today we are talking with Elena Ardelian, who is an Associate Director for Oxford HR for Europe and the Middle East. Elena is also a CEO of Artificial Intelligence for Development Agency, AIDA, a tech nonprofit organization. Elena is advising businesses, governments, and charities on AI opportunities and challenges. Welcome, Elena. We are very glad that you found some time to join us today. Could you please describe your current position and what are your main responsibilities?
Thank you very much for having me, Anna and Ksenia. It is a pleasure to be today with you on this podcast. My name is Elena Ardelian. I am from Romania and I run currently a tech nonprofit organization, as you have said, called Artificial Intelligence for Development Agency. And I am also involved with Oxford HR as an associate director covering MENA and the Europe region. So my position with Oxford HR covers two things. So it's basically twofold. Primarily, I help nonprofits find the right leaders for the right position and support the business development in Europe and the MENA region. In my daily work, every day is different. And I think this is something I really enjoy in my profession, being exposed to different settings, different environments, and also interesting and amazing and brilliant people. So I can say that it can be tough and it can be fun and exciting at once. One day I can be a problem solver and another day I can be a coach or a mentor.
So you mentioned you are helping a Oxford HR to search for the right leaders. Can you describe to us and the audience what, in your opinion, is the right leader? What are the qualities of the right leader?
This is a very, very good question. Let me start maybe with a question. Is leadership learned or inherited? I think it's really difficult to say what would be the right leadership style. But I believe leadership has no gender, no color, and no age. I also believe that we all are leaders and can learn to become better leaders. I have developed a leadership training program, which is called EMMA. So EMMA stands for Essentialism, Maxims, and Agility. Basically, the key message for that training that I really try to inspire and transmit to the participants is that you can only become a good leader if you can lead yourself. And this means for me, really, you need to know your values. You need to live accordingly to your values and also practice authenticity. And here is more about the journey than the destination. And we can think of examples such as Malala, for instance, in Pakistan, who has proven a strong leadership and a lot of character and personality in the work that she is doing. So at the end of the day, would you say that a CEO is more of a leader than a child in a refugee camp who volunteers and helps teams on the ground deliver the food and nutrition, etc., to the refugee members? So I really think leadership is more about one's journey and the way we lead ourselves and lead the decisions that we are doing and we are taking.
Well, this is definitely true. But also very often people feel very intimidated when they apply for their first management position and HR asks them during the interview, could you please explain your previous leadership experience? And they feel like they have never had really executive or leadership position. What would you advise them how to approach this question?
Thank you. Again, another excellent question. I think my, you know, short and first advice would be, don't be afraid of the word leadership or executive, because very often executive and leadership do not come together. And by that, I mean leadership and authority, for instance, are two different things. Leadership is something that is grown throughout the years and throughout different experiences that have. And again, I go really go back to saying the way you lead yourself is mainly determining the way you are also leading others. And here is very important to know yourself. And one way to know yourself better and know yourself and in your values better is through being curious and having an open mind. I think the second advice that I would give to our listeners is, be curious, stay open, and seek opportunities whenever they prepare themselves. That curiosity is really the essence and the fuel that will take you and is taking us to different experiences that are taking us out of our comfort zone, that may feel uncomfortable at the beginning, but would be such an enriching experiences and skills that we can then transpose and take with us in other jobs. Leadership is not something that you will learn in a school program, for instance. It's something that you grow over time and through different experiences that you experience. And it's also something that you take with you in different jobs and can be applied to different sectors and different industries as well. So I would really encourage everyone to look to their lives and identify moments and experiences where they may be standing up for themselves, standing up for other people, taking an important decision in their lives. All these moments are crucial moments where each of us is actually proving leadership, either for ourselves or maybe for other people if they are not in the position to speak for themselves, for instance, and we would then have the courage to do that and protect the people around us. And I'm sure that each of us have had such experiences without being in an executive position. An executive position would rather give you the authority than the leadership. And this is most often the case. But it is all about the journey, really, and not about the destination. The journey by going through different phases in your lives, listening to yourself, understanding the different changes, trying something else, even if it's not really, you know, matching the scheme that you had at the beginning of your studies or beginning of your career. Be open, take the opportunities, think that there is always something to be learned. And most of the times, these are the lessons that are applicable in different industries and on different jobs.
Yeah, let's get back to the nonprofit organization that you founded, AIDA. Can you explain us a little bit more what is it about?
Thank you for the opportunity to talk about AIDA. Well, let me start by saying that actually what we do at AIDA is not that much about the technology, artificial intelligence, as maybe the title would inspire people to believe, as it is about us, the people, and about the profound impact of technological advancements on people and on citizens. AIDA allows me to bring together three areas that have formed my professional life and I'm also passionate about. And these are economics, technology, and people. I believe artificial intelligence is transforming our lives in every way. And I think you can also agree with that. It transforms the way we interact with each other, such as this podcast, for instance, the way we conversate, the way we educate our children, and this is most relevant now during the corona crisis, and also the way we interact with our public institutions and we get our public services from. It also impacts tremendously the future of work, and it shapes the skills for the new jobs of the future that will be created. And I think this is really where AIDA comes in, by trying to bridge that gap between the knowledge that is needed for the future and the skills that are needed for the future and the technology. So what we try to do at AIDA is to empower women and youth in particular, as we see these groups as the most vulnerable nowadays across the globe, by demystifying the concepts of artificial intelligence, help them understand how AI translates into their lives, and ultimately prepare them for the future of work. For instance, in MENA and the Gulf region, we were the first organization to pioneer social awareness and research about artificial intelligence. We are also the proud winners of the Business Excellence Award for Best Artificial Intelligence Related Social Enterprise, and a second category, Tech Nonprofit Organization of the Year. So what we do basically is to provide a platform for training, a platform for debate, for discussion, by engaging with all stakeholders in a country or in a community. And by that, I mean the private sector, the academia, the government, of course, and also the social entrepreneurs or the startups. We believe this is very crucial and very important for ensuring the sustainability of any program and any community.
That is a very interesting and important topic. I think Yuval Noah Harari, in his book 21 Lessons for the 21st Century, also talk about the way how AI, biotechnology and other technology will shape the labor market in the 21st century, and how many people would have to retrain and get a new, maybe completely profession, maybe even every 10-15 years. Can you describe a bit more how do you see this global shift in the future of work, and probably what kind of skills you think would be essential and required for young people to succeed in this new market?
Wonderful question. And I would say that it is really not that easy to tell, right, what jobs will be created in the future exactly and what kind of skills. But we do have, and researchers have, a global and general idea of how the work landscape is going to look like. So we already know that sectors that require repetitive tasks will be very much impacted by the fourth industrial revolution, and in particular by artificial intelligence. What it means is that we will need to educate ourselves more and better, not only more, but better for the future, in order to be able to address the skill gaps. Some countries, and most of the countries in the developing world, they have a huge human capital and human potential. If you think of Africa, Africa is expected to have one of the youngest population by 2050. These are young people that are willing and really seek the knowledge and seek to learn and to use that knowledge to address issues in their community. So one of the things that we try to do at AIDA is to target our programs towards these developing countries and help them develop skills that will be transmittable from one industry to the other, but also skills that are seen as the skills of the future, such as critical thinking, quick decision making, and also creativity. These are kind of the three branches that that seem to, you know, to bring the researchers together and say, yes, this is it. These are kind of the skills of the future, along with soft skills that are also very much needed.
Speaking about the new skills, you are currently completing an executive MBA course. Do you think that MBA is an essential step for any professional striving to become a leader?
Thank you. Yes, indeed, I am in the process of finalizing my executive MBA. Let me tell you why I decided to do this MBA. Immediately before I have created AIDA, I realized that I needed more business skills. It is an online program, so that gave me the flexibility for doing this from wherever I wanted at my own pace, and also giving me the right skills for creating AIDA and running the business. So as you see, I really haven't decided to do an MBA for the leadership skills, because I still believe that leadership is something that you can experience outside schools and outside training programs. Now, of course, an executive MBA or a leadership training program or a program in general can strengthen your style, leadership style, can strengthen your knowledge, your skills, and fine-tune them a little bit. But it will not teach you how to become a leader, because there are so many ways in being a leader. And there are so many people that have, you know, different leadership styles. It is impossible to give someone a guide and say, at the end of this program, you will be a leader. But what it can definitely do is to help you strengthen certain skills, have maybe acquired the knowledge you needed and speak with more confidence about certain topics, and also explore maybe interacting with your colleagues. And this goes back to your question related to, you know, future skills. So basically, it kind of enhances your creativity for sure, and helps you strengthen your soft skills just by simply interacting with other colleagues and people from other places and from other cultures.
You have experience of being leader in a classic business organizations, and now you're running non-profit organization. What is the biggest differences for you between these two models?
This is a tough question. Let's say that I do run a tech non-profit organization, but I run it as a business. Because I think at the end of the day, even if it is a non-profit organization, we are still accountable for every cent and every penny that we put in the organization. And the way we use it to precisely deliver and have an impact in the community we are addressing through our programs. So it has to be, you know, related to the model has to be related to accountability, has to be related to transparency, has to be related to high impact, maybe not high income, but high impact. And we are still, you know, operating and functioning in a society and world where we need funds, we need money definitely to do our actions and implement our programs. And we are accountable towards our fund givers and donors and partners and collaborators we are interacting with. We are accountable for the funds we are receiving. So from that point of view, for me, the way I run the nonprofit organization is not that different from the way I run a business, in the sense that, of course, I will not chase the high income, but I chase a high impact.
How do you so successfully manage multiple roles and responsibilities in different companies? Do you have some time management tips for us and our listeners?
Yes, I think my curiosity takes me to, as I said, to different places and different experiences in my life. And sometimes, yes, I found myself with a lot of things to handle. There are two major drivers for me. And or drivers of change, or drivers ways in which I approach time management in general. The first one is a book I had read, written by Greg McKeown. It's Essentialism. So, and that doesn't come as a surprise, as I had already been talking about it in the leadership training program, and the power of essentialism. So basically, Greg McKeown, what his key message is to say that we may not choose our options, but we can choose our choices. This is really very, very important to have in mind. And I read something very recently, something very interesting about the word priority, which was invented in the late 14th century. And did you actually know that the word priority referred to one single thing? So it really referred to one single thing. So it maintained singularity meaning for more than 500 years. So since then, we had changed its use to multiple priorities, thinking that this will also change our life circumstances in a certain way, which is, of course, irrational. So you hear people talking, my priorities. It can't be. So it's a priority in most of the cases. So it's your goal. It's one purpose. And then there are different actions that take you there. So the first thing is really essentialism, trying to be essential with my choices and my time. And then focus for meditation. And I agree with you. It also happens to me that I am kind of out of focus, or juggling different activities and different roles is not always easy. And in particular, in moments where we are overloaded with responsibilities and activities, it is very important to find a way to quiet our minds and find a silence that will help us see the future better, or see the next priority and the next goal better.
You have a truly international background. You was born and raised in Romania. Then you moved to Vienna, Austria, where you received your education. Then you moved to Kuwait. You are still now collaborating with a UK-based company. You have experienced very diverse cultures and countries. What helped you to adapt every time to new countries and new requirements? Maybe you can share some tips with us.
This is again a very, very good question. And I would say, of course, everybody deals with these changes, which are very difficult. I am not undermining that. And, changing countries and languages and leaving friends, families, starting something new, it takes a tremendous amount of energy. And also tremendous amount of strength to be able to do that and go through that process. I would advise everybody to take the opportunity. You can never know where this opportunity is taking you, and what lessons you will learn and experience from this opportunity. I had experienced it so many times, even with my move to the World Bank, for instance. The professional opportunity came to me, incidentally, but it's not really. I was seeking for it, maybe indirectly. I was preparing myself to work in that environment. But I wasn't actively sending applications for jobs at the World Bank. And I was contacted by someone, asked me to take a decision in 2 days. And I've done it. So it wasn't easy, of course, but I thought, it's something new, something to learn and something to explore. And I felt confident enough to do that. I think what really helps is that curiosity that I was telling you about, and also an open mindset, and look for the positive aspects wherever you go, whatever you do. There is always something to learn. It's always something that you will take later with you. And I'm also thinking that an university, we are not a job, we are not a profession. We are an accumulation of our experiences. And the more we experience, the more we can give back to others, and the more rich we will feel at the end of the day. We will definitely come back, and those doing these changes, going to different cultures, different countries, they come back with different eyes, with another understanding of life and another understanding of how things work in other places, and also more gratitude, I would say. After having spent some time in Senegal or in other African countries or in Southeast Asia, seeing poverty, but also seeing beauty in people, I can definitely say today that I am grateful. I am grateful for all these experiences, and also grateful for the tough moments that have only created more strength and more resilience at the end of the day.
And probably the last question for today, what are your next steps? What would you like to achieve in the nearest future?
I have ambitions for myself and I have ambitions for AIDA. So my vision is that through AIDA, we will be able to leverage global knowledge to empower every woman and young person around the world and help them reach their full potential. As I said, there are so many free resources and so much wisdom around us that we can no longer justify inequalities, poor education, and many other economic and social disparities. It's just unacceptable. So my vision is really to leverage the resources we have and help everybody create a better future for themselves. And just for myself, I really try to keep myself busy with things that I really enjoy doing and taking more opportunities whenever they present themselves, traveling more and experience and meet more people so that I can be kind of a better person.
Thank you very much, Yelena, for this very inspirational conversation about leadership. You probably reminded all of us that we all have some type of leadership experience. We just need to find it in our biography and present it in the right way to other people. That leading ourselves before we lead others is very important. That leadership and authority are two very different things, and that there are multiple ways to be a leader. And it is always important to be curious, to stay open, and to seek for new opportunities.
Thank you for being with us.
If you are interested to learn more about career transition, please follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can find links in the podcast description. There you can also find links to resources mentioned in the episode.
If you have in mind some friends with exciting career transformation stories, please let us know. We're always looking for new guests.
Don't forget to hit a subscribe button and tell your friends about our podcast if you find it helpful.
Stay tuned.